Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and everybody ought to praise the Lord. This is Apostle W.D. Carter, overseer and founder of Cross of Calvary Deliverance Ministries and radio host of Lift High the Cross radio broadcast, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio. And we're going to continue from the other day. We were talking about how humanity fell into the depths of human depravity. Let us go to 1 John verses 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. And the word of the Lord reads, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And I want to read it again in the Amplified Version, so that we might get an amplified declaration of what the Lord is saying. "Do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification, and the lust of the eyes, the greedy longing of the mind, and the pride of life, assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself. And the world passes away and disappears, and with it the forbidden cravings, the passionate desires, the lust of it. But he who does the will of God and carries out his purposes in his life abides, remains forever." Praise the Lord. And so what we want to look at today is actually what happened in the Garden of Eden between the serpent, Eve, and Adam. Chapter 3 of Genesis, the first verse begins, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And the Lord said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Praise the Lord. And so let us discuss this particular chapter from the top, from the first verse. Now, I want you to understand, praise the Lord, that the serpent was a creature in the garden whom Adam had categorized among the animals. And Adam had named them. Remember, the word of the Lord said in chapter 2 that whatsoever Adam called the creatures, in other words, howsoever Adam identified the creatures, that was the identity thereof. And so now when the serpent approaches, he does not approach Adam, because Adam knew who he was. After all, Adam gave him his identity. And so we need to understand, praise the Lord, that the enemy behind the serpent, praise the Lord, was the devil himself. But he used the serpent as a tool, okay, to move against Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He was wiser, more subtle, more keen than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, I want you to realize that the serpent spake to the woman, he did not speak to the man, which indicates that the man probably was not standing or in the same location that Eve was when the serpent spoke to her. And the serpent said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree, of every tree of the garden. Notice that the serpent is now questioning the veracity of what of the command that God had given, not to Eve, but had given to Adam. Adam, in turn, gave that same command to Eve. He is the one who told Eve that she should not eat, she could eat of every tree of the garden, but she could not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so, as she answers, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, referring to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And so, many believe that when Eve answered the enemy, she quoted what the Lord said through Adam, but she added, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. I would like to say, praise the Lord, that that's not so much, that should not be considered to be an addition to what God said, because in order for her to eat of the tree, she would have had to have touched it. So that's not in question. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now this is when the woman starts to get in trouble with the enemy, using the serpent against her mind. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, which is indicative of the fact that the serpent was now calling God a liar. And then he indicates, for God doth know that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So not only did the serpent, not only did the enemy say to, through the serpent to the woman that God was a liar, but he also added that God was holding out something on them. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That word God there is has the meaning of angels and a greater meaning of authority. Ye shall be as gods. You shall be able to decide good and evil for yourself. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, now I want you to really hone in on the sixth verse here. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. When the woman saw, when the woman started to reason for herself, she saw that the tree was good for food. So let us understand that the tree, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge and evil, of the knowledge of good and evil, was not the fruit itself would not do any harm to those who ate of it. That wasn't the focus of God's command. The focus of God's command was whether or not Adam and Eve would obey his command. And so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, okay, now she's reasoning it, this thing out for herself, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, I want you to recognize, praise the Lord, that the points that are pointed out in that verse of Scripture are the all points where every one of us is tempted. Look at Hebrews 4 and 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, of our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So the same points that the woman was tempted at in the Garden of Eden are the same points that the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted at, yet he did not fall into sin. Back to Genesis. And the eyes of them both were open. Well, what eyes were they talking? Certainly not the eyes, praise the Lord, in the front of their head. No. Okay? The eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. In other words, at this juncture, when they ate of the fruit, okay, their disobedience to the command caused them to become conscious of themselves. Notice that the verse of Scripture says, verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. Prior to that, they were not conscious of themselves. They were not conscious of their nakedness before the Lord. Okay? They knew that they were naked. That means they became self-conscious, and they lost their consciousness of God. They immediately became disconnected from God. That's what the Lord meant when he said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. That's where we are at as unsaved people today. As human beings today, we have lost our connection to God, to our Creator, because we are operating in human depravity. That's what sin is. Sin is human depravity, and human depravity disconnects us from God, from our Creator, which renders us from his perspective to be dead. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together. Listen, look at their reaction. Once they became self-conscious, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. In other words, what they did, praise the Lord, was they tried to wrap themselves in their own righteousness. They tried to cover themselves because they were quite aware of their nakedness, and they were quite aware that they had broken the command of God. Look what happens. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That indicates, praise the Lord, that this was a habitual thing that happened. The Lord God would come into the garden in the cool of the day and would fellowship with Adam and his wife Eve. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. That's their reaction. After they became self-conscious, they tried to cover their nakedness in their own righteousness, okay? And when the Lord God walked in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. That's exactly what happens with us today. Whenever the presence of the Lord comes in amongst unbelievers, the unbeliever will always run away from the presence of the Lord. Why is that? Because, praise God, Adam and Eve had a sense of the judgment that God had pronounced in the second chapter of Genesis, the 15th verse, when he told Adam that he could eat of every tree in the garden, save with the exception of the tree which was in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that they ate of that tree, they would surely die. And that's exactly what happened. So look, verse 9 says, and the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, where art thou? Now, I want you to notice that the Lord God did not call unto Adam and Eve. The Lord God called unto Adam. Why did the Lord God call unto Adam? Well, because Adam was the one who was the federal head of the creation. Adam was given responsibility to tend the garden, to dress it, and to keep it. In other words, Adam's job was to be the caretaker of the Garden of Eden. Okay? And Adam, praise the Lord, was the governmental head of the creation, the Garden of Eden being a microcosmic example of the entire creation. And the Lord God said unto Adam, where art thou? Indicating that at that juncture, Adam was disconnected from God. Adam indeed was lost. We need to understand, people, that it is not God who is lost. A lot of people will say, well, I found God. No, we didn't find God. God found us. And we need to understand that. God is never lost. God has never left us, neither has he ever forsaken us. It is we who have left God. It is we who have forsaken him, and as a result of that, we are lost. We are lost in this sinful world. And God is calling out to us, even using this broadcast to call out to those of you who are listening who are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, this is Adam speaking, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Why would Adam be afraid of the God, of the Lord God, who he fellowshiped with every day in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. Why would he be afraid? He was afraid of the judgment. And listen to his reason. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And the Lord said, who told thee that thou wast naked? In other words, the Lord understood that Adam and Eve were not conscious of their nakedness. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman who thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Now, I want you to notice, that is the primary characteristic of human depravity. Human depravity refuses to take responsibility for its own actions. Adam said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, he blamed both the woman and God. She gave me of the fruit, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, note what the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The woman did the same thing that Adam did. The woman blamed the serpent, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Which is indicative of the fact that the serpent, as the instrument of the devil's deception, probably walked upright, might have flown. Okay, but the Lord said that he was cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon his belly he would go, and the dust he would eat all the days of his life. Look at verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That is known as the proto-evangelium. It is the first mention of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the text. The Lord said he would put enmity between the woman's seed and the devil's seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So we need to understand exactly what has taken place. Okay. In the Garden of Eden, to introduce human depravity into God's creation. Now, I want you to understand how the Lord did not, he did hold each and every participant in this debacle responsible for their own actions. You need to understand, praise the Lord, that the Lord God holds each and every one of us responsible for the choices that we make. The Lord never blames anybody else for somebody else's choices. So, praise the Lord, let's look at verse 16, because the Lord has already spoken to the serpent and cursed him above every beast of the field. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now I want you to notice in this particular scripture, praise the Lord, that the Lord God is now holding the woman responsible for the choice that she made to defy his command. He says, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Okay? I believe that this is where labor pains originated from, in childbirth for the woman. Okay? I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. I believe, praise the Lord, that in this thought, that perhaps the woman was not meant to bring forth as many children as she has had to do. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. In sorrow. In other words, praise the Lord, children were supposed to be a blessing. Children were not supposed to come forth in sorrow. But the Lord said to her, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. The woman's desire will be to her husband, and he, her husband, shall rule over her. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. I want you to see that, people. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, the unspoken words are, and not unto my voice. See, in that, what in this incident in the garden, what happened with Adam? Adam submitted to the influence of his wife. In other words, Adam deemed his wife's influence to be greater than his God's influence. And in this instance, Adam becomes the first idolater. He idolized his wife. And because he idolized his wife, he became subject to her voice rather than the voice of God. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. In other words, praise the Lord, we were meant to work. Okay. Work originated in the Garden of Eden. When the Lord gave Adam the assignment to dress it and keep it, he made Adam the caretaker of the Garden of Eden and the federal head of the whole creation. Again, the Garden of Eden being microcosmic of the whole creation, a microcosmic demonstration of the whole creation. But the Lord never meant for us, for us to have to work in toil. The Lord God never meant for that. That has happened to us because Adam violated the command of God. And so, praise the Lord, because of him violating the command of God, the Lord said that the ground was cursed. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also, and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, and for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. We need to understand also, praise the Lord, that because Adam violated the command of God, the authority that was given to Adam by God over the creation was now, he was now robbed of that and placed us, all of humanity, under the power, under the authority of the enemy. I will continue with this. Praise the Lord. I've come to the end of my time, but I will continue with this breakdown the next time you hear my voice, which should be on Monday, same time, on live on Blog Talk Radio. May the Lord richly bless you and keep you is my perpetual prayer for each and every one of you. In Jesus' name, amen.